The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Broncos were in on Matthew Stafford a year ago, depending on who you talk to. How in they were or how close they were to getting the quarterback here is, I guess, a topic for debate. But they were certainly interested in him, and he left Detroit, went to L.A., has a bit of a career resurgence, wins the Super Bowl, wins more playoff games in 1 year than he won in 12 in Detroit. Feel-good story, right? Sometimes you just need a change of scenery. Sometimes you just need new surroundings. You need a better coaching staff around you, whatever. All right, well, the Broncos, we've talked about it ad nauseum of plan A, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. Maybe plan B is the draft, although if you didn't draft a guy at number 9 last year in a much better class, I'm not sure you draft one this year. Plan C is maybe just run it back with Drew, which I'm not, don't want to open that up. I'm just listening up here. Is another plan looking at the group of quarterbacks out there and saying, hey, maybe there's a Matthew Stafford out there where they've had some success. They were a high pick, have a ton of talent, have had some success in their current situation. But for whatever reason, it's time to move on.
Mm.
So Cecil Lammy put out a story on DenverFan.com, I think it was yesterday, where he listed some candidates. I want to run through them with you real quick and get thumbs up, thumbs down.
Sure.
All right, we'll start at the top. There's a guy we went round and round on a little bit ago. But the number one overall pick in 2018, Baker Mayfield.
No, I'm not big on Baker Mayfield. Baker's not smart enough to realize that Kevin Stefanski was the best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah.
And if you're not smart enough to realize that, it kind of bothers me. Like, hey, Baker was a below-average quarterback until Stefanski got there. Below average. And then Kevin came around, and he developed a system for him that is fantastic. Now, we're going to run a system that's very similar to what Stefanski is running. So, in theory, Baker Mayfield could operate efficiently. I think that he could come in and be the best quarterback that Denver has had since the Super Bowl. There's no question that he'd be the best that we've had. But no, he's not going to take you to the next level. You know, Baker's got his limitations, and his size is a problem. He doesn't have the speed that Kyler Murray does to overcome the size.
Right.
You know, he has to play within a system. And the fact that he's gotten at odds with Kevin Stefanski, I can't quite figure it out. Like, I don't know why Baker Mayfield hates Kevin Stefanski. I don't.
I don't either. But he feels like he's plateaued there.
Yeah,
they had the good first year together. This year they regressed. It's like it's not going in the right direction.
I mean, if you listen to the reports coming out of Cleveland, like it's pretty toxic between Kevin and Baker Mayfield. And so I could see him getting dealt. I could see the Browns moving on from him. I wouldn't buy him having a Matt Stafford type of resurgence. He would be an okay quarterback, but no, he's not going to take the next step or make your team take the next step.
He's not as talented as Matthew Stafford. This next guy, I think maybe, but he's had issues now in two places. The number two overall pick in 2016, Carson Wentz.
No. Now, I would be interested in Carson Wentz, but for different reasons. Like, the point of this conversation is, can they be Matt Stafford? No, I don't think he could be Matt Stafford. I don't think that Carson Wentz could come in here and take you to the Super Bowl. But you do have to have a functioning quarterback in place. Like, you need a functioning number one quarterback on this roster by the time you get to the draft. And you could do that via free agency, or you could do that via a trade. I don't think that I would want to give up a first rounder for Carson. I would not want to give up a first rounder for Carson Wentz. But, okay, what's the real asking price going to be? He's now had two teams give up on him, maybe a third, maybe. I don't know. What do you think the asking price is?
Well, what did they give up to get him from Philly? Was it a conditional that turned into a one?
It turned into a first, yeah.
I would do that, but the conditions would have to be, you know, not just number of snaps and play. You'd have to figure out what to connect it with of, hey, this means he was successful.
So I would not do that because I don't. If I give up a first, you're my plan. Like you are the
future. I think
future.
He could be the plan, though. Okay. Carson Wentz has a ton of talent.
That I could see why you would make that argument. I personally would look at Carson Wentz like, I'm going to give up a third rounder for you so I can get functioning quarterback play until I find my solution. But if the asking price is anything near what is going to cost me to find my franchise quarterback, I'm out.
All right, two other ones real quick that have both been to a Super Bowl. Different points in their career, different levels of accomplishment. Matt Ryan, Jared Goff.
No and no. Matt Ryan is just too old. I do think that Matt Ryan...
He could be very similar to Stafford,
he could be Matt Stafford, for sure. I mean, Stafford played 12 years with the Lions and did absolutely nothing. You give him 1 year somewhere else. Both those guys had, independently before Stafford got to the Rams, arguably had Hall of Fame numbers. Now, Stafford's got a much better case because now he's got the Super Bowl to go with it. But I think that Matt Ryan's just too old. The upside's not there. Jared Goff, nope, not interested. There's one guy that you didn't bring up. I don't know if he's on the list or not. The only guy that I think could potentially, and I think a lot of people would be terrified of this, the only guy that you could potentially trade for right now and have a Matt Stafford type of turnaround is Kirk Cousins. That's it.
He is not on the list.
He should be. Kirk Cousins is in a different world. I see trade candidates for bridge quarterbacks, and then I see trade candidates for franchise. Kirk is the only one that I would take a risk on if I was looking for a franchise quarterback. You look at his numbers, man. This guy is a top five quarterback in stats every single year. I know the wins don't back it up. I get it. I know he hasn't shown up in the primetime games, but he's the only one that's got the talent that Matt Stafford has.
We differ on that one, so we'll circle All back right. to that All one right. down the road. You know Kirk Cousins much better than I do, so I'm curious to get your full thoughts on that. But it's time for a free agent fever update. We got to put more names up on the big board. The arts and crafts are underway here in the studio. We'll do that coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
I got a fever and the only prescription is for free agents.
Tyler, I haven't been in the studio, I don't know, for maybe a week or so.
Yeah.
Arts and crafts are back. We've got the off-season boards going. First one up is free agent fever. Through the course of this, we all have to come up with our top five free agents that we want the Broncos to go out and sign. They're going to have about $50 million of cap space by the time they move some things around. I think they're at 40 now, but they'll end up about 50.
Now, you say we all have to come up with our top five. Usually that's a bit of a challenge to get certain shows to participate.
Correct.
So, now that Richie is, well, he's got a little bit of say around here.
Yeah.
You know, like he's not just the chump that he used to be. He can, in theory, force the other shows to participate.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. I'll put it this way.
He used to be a chump. Now he's not.
The guys you're talking about who are on early in the morning, their names are listed up there.
Yes.
So I'm expecting there to be five names under both Stink's name and Mike's name by the time this is done. So it's time for us to put a couple up there.
All right.
So a lot, you know, to some extent, money is no object.
Yeah.
Now, if you trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it honestly is not. The Broncos have got all the money in the world.
Yeah.
They could seriously sign anybody. So don't worry about money because the Broncos have got plenty of money.
Okay. I've got my two for today.
Okay.
You want to go first? You want me to lead it off?
I could go. I mean, immediately, though, I just got to yell at Richie because I had the same problem as last year. I currently have got the same problem. I hate that we've got numbers up there, 1 through 5, because inherently that implies that that's the priority, right? Like if you put him at number 2, he's the second most important. It's hard. These guys, like, it's a domino effect. Like, there's a chain reaction. You get one, then the priorities move around and everything.
Sure.
So I got beef with the numeric system, but I'll participate despite my beef.
Okay. Like, that's a good caveat to get out in front of.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, the first guy I've got, I've already talked about him. We've run promos about it. It won't be a surprise for anybody. But you got to get a functioning quarterback in-house. You and I disagree whether they got a functioning quarterback in-house. I think that they do not. So before you get to the draft, you have to have somebody in this building that you say, okay, if the draft goes haywire, we can play a football season, and maybe we can win a few games. And this is not independent. Thank you, Richie. This is not independent of Aaron Rodgers. This could be in correlation with Aaron Rodgers. The first guy on my board is Marcus Mariota. Like, you don't have very many options out there in free agency. The options are Teddy Bridgewater. Well, we're not going to do that one again. The fan base would go insane. We've been down that road. It didn't do anything. So let's not do it again. Cross him off the list. Then you've got Jameis Winston. That's a legit option. That's pretty legit. And then the third name that is at the top is Marcus Mariota. If I got to pick a quarterback because I need a functioning quarterback in the building, I'm going to take the athletic quarterback of the bad bunch. That's Marcus Mariota. I know at the very least I could make some plays with his feet. We can run around. We can pick up some first downs. You know, Marcus Mariota, his career with the Titans wasn't amazing, but it also wasn't bad.
No, he won some playoff games. He won a playoff game in Arrowhead.
Right, right. It wasn't bad. And keep in mind that the Raiders paid him a lot of money because they thought that he was going to push Derek Carr. Like, they thought that he might be the starter over Derek Carr. So the first name on my board is Marcus Mariota. If you get him, that doesn't take you out of the running for Aaron Rodgers. I'm still going after Aaron Rodgers.
I think of the free agent quarterbacks, Mitchell Trubisky would be at the top of my list, but
I should have mentioned him. He's at the top-ish of the list.
Another guy who has a bad reputation, but if you look at his numbers and his wins and losses and getting to the playoffs, like, he was actually not too bad with the Bears and, you know, Matt Nagy and all the problems there. So I think he'd be better than Mariota and Trubisky at the top of my list of doing quarterbacks. But I'm not going quarterback. I think you either go Aaron Rodgers, you draft someone, or you ride it out with Drew. I'm going to start off, and I'm with you. This isn't in order, but my number one guy, I'm going to go with the feel-good story. And I just finished the State of the Broncos series at DenverFan.com, and I went through position by position of where they were. This team's front seven heading into next year, brutal. They have nobody that would scare the opposition. You have to get a pass rusher. The best pass rusher on the free agent market was the guy who was here. You got a second and third for him, and you just saw him in the Super Bowl. Atop my list, I'm doing the reunion. I'm going Von Miller.
I like it. You know, I would love to have Von Miller back. I think that Von Miller only makes sense if you get Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying, like, I don't think Von Miller is going to be as expensive as people think, but he's going to get paid a decent amount of money. Probably the $12 to $14 million range is my best guess. I heard Zach and Stokes say the Spot Rack had it estimated at like 10.5. I'm going to guess 12-ish is my best guess for Vaughn. But my main reason that I say that it only makes sense with Rodgers is because when you've got new blood that comes into the building, there's something weird about bringing back old blood. It just is. Like we're starting over. And we don't need all the guys from the past. You know, you've got opinions on the way that we used to do things. If you're in a championship window, give me Vaughn. Outside of that, I'm going somewhere else for pass rusher. So I do have a name at pass rusher that I could put up on the board. And I think he's the best available pass rusher on the market right now. It's Hassan Reddick. He had like 15 sacks last year playing for the Panthers, outside linebacker. He's a bigger commitment than Von Miller. You're going to give him a longer deal. It's going to be a bigger financial commitment. But it's a more long-term commitment as well. So I put Hassan Reddick on the board. Shout out to Richie, who I didn't see what he was doing behind me. I thought he was just going to cross out the numbers and put some dashes or something because that's logically what you would put. But he put boycott because I'm boycotting the numeric system.
Okay.
So
yeah, it's just five guys. They're in no particular order for you by the time it's done. Yeah. My second one I'm going to put up there today. Look, I think Pat Surtain's going to be a cornerback in this town for a decade. I think he's really, really good. I think you got to have somebody opposite him, though.
You do.
Who is just as good. I think Kyle Fuller is going to be gone. Bryce Callahan's going to be gone. You start looking at it and think, man, a position where they had a a gluttony of cornerbacks a year ago, all of a sudden gets pretty thin. So I'm going to put a corner on the top of my list. I'm going to go J.C. Jackson. That's my top one. I think you need to strengthen that position. I think you need to get better in that spot. Otherwise, we're going to see a lot of Michael Ojemudia, who I think we've already seen plenty of Michael Ojemudia playing as a starter, playing significant snaps.
It is amazing to think that all the resources that you've invested in the secondary over the last couple of years, and you do have a corner issue. You do.
I think if Ronald Darby's your third guy, great. I think when Ronald Darby's your second guy, and Michael Ojemudia is number three, you're
keep in mind, it's not just Fuller that's a free agency. Callahan's a free agent also.
Correct.
So in theory, you're missing half your backfield right now.
You're losing two guys who you relied on heavily this past season. So I would say go get somebody else as opposed to bringing either one of them back. I like Bryce Callahan. He's just always hurt. He's played 21 games in 3 years.
Yeah.
When he's on the field, he's a really good player.
Yeah.
And if they bring him back, you can sell me on it. But I would rather go get somebody else and just say, you know what, we got two great corners. You got Pat Surtain on one side, you got Jackson on the other side, and you can just lock things down. That would be my second choice on my free agent fever.
Makes sense. You do need a corner. Can't fight that at all. There's a lot of logic behind it.
All right, Todd McShay put out his...
I got one more later, by the way.
Okay.
I got one more.
You going three today?
Overachieving. And I'll challenge you to join me.
Okay.
Because you got to include Broncos free agents in this. So maybe Callahan's a priority. Maybe he's the guy you want to bring back. But you do have to think about the Broncos free agents. So I'll challenge you to think about the most important free agent for the Broncos to re-sign, and I've got my guy.
Okay, I will think of that answer, but I'm not guaranteeing I'm putting him up on my board of my
top
five.
All right, fair enough.
I'll come up with my priority from the Broncos who are going to be free agents. I already got a couple in my mind. But yeah, we'll get to that later in the show. All right, Todd McShay put out his first post-Super Bowl mock draft, and he's got a team trading up for their quarterback. Is it the Broncos? We'll answer that question coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Tyler, it is officially mock draft season.
What's going on here? Is this like a... But is this like a remix? No, is this the actual song?
It's not
the actual song.
Okay. It's not something our friends at KYGO would play, so I have no idea what it is.
Right. Well, Nathaniel Hackett would love it.
This is a breakup song?
It's about Britney, bro. Even I know that.
But it's not sad.
Cry me a river, Britney.
It doesn't sound like this kind of song you curl up under a weighted blanket.
Yeah, this isn't like I Want You Back. This is hey, cry me a river, move on.
Okay.
Which is how Rodgers feels. Yes, you're right about Shailene. Right.
I guess that works. Just because I'm not familiar with it doesn't mean it doesn't work. All right, so it is officially mock draft season. They start to make a little more sense now because at least you're looking at, all right, well, what are teams' needs? Who are their coaches? Like some of the early ones really make no sense. So after the Super Bowl, it's time to start paying attention to them. Todd McShay has his first one out today. And he has a team trading up to take a quarterback. It is not the Broncos, however. So here's how McShay has it going. He has Jacksonville taking Evan Neal, the tackle, out of Alabama with the first pick. Somebody to protect Trevor Lawrence, which makes a lot of sense. Detroit going Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end, out of Michigan, getting an edge rusher.
Which, by the way, does it not blow your mind a little bit that, like, there is not a single mock draft in the existence of the internet that has got the Lions taking a quarterback sitting in number two.
Right.
And nobody has them even considering a QB.
Is that a statement, though, about this year's class?
Yes.
Because last year they would have taken any of the top three,
we got this awesome dude, Rico. Richie, what's Rico's last name? I'm trying to blank on it. But from Detroit, Rico Beard. He's popped on our show a couple times. He does a show in Detroit. And I asked him that. He's like, we would take a quarterback if there's someone to take. But look at this year's class. Like, it's terrible. So we're probably going to be bad next year. We'll be right back in the same spot. So might as well take the QB next year.
D-Mac always likes to say you can't choose when you suck. Unless you're the Lions, it's just every year.
Yeah, but I like to say, that's a true statement, but you also can't choose when there's a good player. This isn't Madden. You don't get to create a player.
Right.
Sorry,
right.
I've taken this down a wormhole already.
No, you're right, because Jared Goff is not the answer, clearly, and they need a quarterback, so they'll go into a second consecutive year after Matthew Stafford with, I guess, Goff is the bridge. So that's what they're stuck in. The Texans take Kyle Hamilton, the safety out of Notre Dame. The Jets take, and I'm going to butcher this, the tackle out of NC State, Ekwonu. Is that how you pronounce his name? Thibodeau from Oregon goes to the Giants. The Panthers take Sauce Gardner, my favorite, maybe my favorite name.
Sauce, let's go.
The corner out of Cincinnati. The Giants take Cross, tackle out of Mississippi State. The Falcons take Drake London, wide receiver out of USC. Leaves the Broncos on the board. All the quarterbacks there, they didn't have to trade up. Later in the draft, in this mock, someone trades up to get a quarterback. The Broncos pass on every quarterback in the draft, according to Todd McShay, and take Devin Lloyd, inside linebacker, out of Utah.
All right, well, you could look at that one of two ways. McShay thinks we're getting Aaron Rodgers. Maybe.
I mean, they probably wouldn't have nine, though.
Good point.
You would guess.
You do not have nine. For a fact, I did not think that one through. Every now and then you say something smarter than me. Once a year, you do it. Good job. You found it. Today's your day. You would not have number nine if you got Aaron Rodgers.
Most likely.
Yes,
most likely.
Yes, yes. Okay, so, man, I don't know what to think. First off, I'll fully admit, I'm not the draft expert here. I don't know anything about Devin Lloyd. I don't know if he's the next Micah Parsons. If you told me that we were getting the next Micah Parsons and inside linebacker, all right, cool, if he's going to be Micah Parsons, right?
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, drafting an inside linebacker at number nine, I know we've neglected that position for years. We've needed to solve it. We're probably only going to retain one of our two guys between Kenny Young and Alexander Johnson. It is a need. I get it. But talk about, you'd have to sell me on Devin Lloyd. You'd have to tell me this is the best inside linebacker in 10 years.
Yeah, and I said the same thing last year about taking Micah Parsons at number nine. I think that's high to take an inside linebacker. I do. Now, in hindsight,
if we could do it all over again,
you would take him.
I wouldn't select Mac Jones. I wouldn't select Justin Fields.
Correct.
I would select Micah Parsons, and D-Mac and I will fight on that every single day because it's a quarterback. How could you pass on a QB? Because Micah Parsons, I know that dude is going to be one of the best at what he does every single year. And if I know I'm getting somebody that's top of his position, I'm taking him.
I'm with you. And last year when I came on with you and D-Mac on draft night and I made the comment about how I can't believe my phone works because I chucked it across the room when they made the Pat Surtain pick, it was mostly based on quarterback. It was like Justin Fields is there and you passed on him. But it was also Rashawn Slater who would have filled the need at tackle and Micah Parsons who would have filled the need.
Yeah.
At the time, which is funny based on what we just talked about, free agency of now corner is actually a need. But at the time of the draft last year, that was a luxury pick.
No doubt.
And so I would be fine with them going inside linebacker, especially when we've seen what a guy like Micah Parsons can do when he's used creatively. But if you're going to go that position, and maybe I'm getting caught up in, hey, we all watch the college football playoffs. And N'Kobe Dean seemed to be all over the field for Georgia. He was everywhere. So if you're making me guess as to which guy is going to make the leap, I'll take the guy who shined in the semifinal game and in the championship game.
Yeah.
And I get it. Utah had a good year. They went to the Rose Bowl. It's a good team. He's not like he's coming from some program where it's this huge leap. But you could convince me N'Kobe Dean is the right guy. I'm not so sure that Devin Lloyd is going to get a lot of people excited.
Now, here's the thing. My opinion of this year's quarterback class is that I do not want to trade up to select anybody. I don't like anybody enough to move up. I'm not going to give up next year's first rounder or multiple first rounders to go get Malik Willis. I'm just not. But if they fall to you at number nine and you're the first, like you could take the first quarterback off the board, I am taking a QB. Much like I said last year, if Justin Fields fell to them, they should take him. That's how I feel about this year's class. Because if they fall to you and you don't give anything up, all right, if they're terrible, I'll try again next year and it's not that big of a deal. But if I move up, I don't get to try again next year because I just had to trade away next year's draft picks in order to get a guy that's not very good.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. My concern on it would be if nobody in the top eight, which those are bad teams and you know at least a good number of them need a quarterback, just wanted to take one of them, and nobody in a quarterback desperate league was willing to trade up into the top eight to take one of them, it strikes me as the EJ Manuel year.
Yeah, but devil's advocate, you get the first choice, so you got your guy. Yeah. Like you got your dude.
But you're also betting.
You didn't get the leftovers. You got your guy. Like, we got Nathaniel Hackett. You cannot say that George Payton didn't get his guy. He hired the first coach off the board. You would get your choice. It's your quarterback.
I just think, though, you're betting at that point that every other general manager and scouting department of a team that needs a quarterback is inept.
Some are D-backs in Vegas listening to this, about to call in and yell at you.
Because if they wanted a quarterback, any of them could have gotten the top eight to get a quarterback. So they're all idiots. None of them know what they're talking about. And the Broncos just were lucky to sit there at nine and have them fall there. I think it's better odds that it turns into E.J. Manuel, and you're getting the best quarterback in a really, really bad class.
That's what this class does feel like. I'm not going to lie on that.
Yeah, as he gets closer and closer, I'm with you. And it's why I don't think they're going to take one. They didn't take one last year at nine. I don't think they're taking one at nine this year. All right, rumors were swirling out in L.A. during Super Bowl week, and naturally, the Broncos were right in the center of it. What did we hear? We'll tell you that coming up next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
This house again tonight. I got the TV home.
I don't picture Aaron Rodgers like sitting at home listening to sad songs right now.
Is this Keith Urban? He's probably got the four-finger pour of tequila.
No doubt.
That's what he tells us he likes to do when he's bummed. That's what he did when Jordan Love
was picked. I thought it was whiskey. Is it tequila?
Well, when Jordan Love night, he said he broke out the tequila.
Okay.
And then when he was on the Manning cast, I think it was tequila, too.
Okay.
So I'm not trying to make any correlation there.
Right.
That's just the two times I've heard it. So I could see him putting on a little Keith Urban. And
I could see him more the JT Cry Me a River route. Like
the four finger pour?
Like, hey, good luck without me, Shailene.
Yeah. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley. I have to look down every time because I have no idea. I mean, I know who she is from the show, but would never have known her name. I've officially called it off. The engagement is over, which means the relationship is over.
Mm.
That's why Kevin is playing all this breakup music throughout the show. All right, so out in L.A. during Super Bowl week, a lot of rumors flying around. Now, this isn't the first time we've heard Broncos-related rumors, because Cecil Lammy was just on his all-star victory trip, or whatever he calls it, when he was in Vegas for the Shrine game. Then he was in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. And he heard a lot of rumors about the Broncos and Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that it's not going to be as expensive to get him in terms of compensation as people have reported, and that Denver was certainly the leader in the clubhouse. This past week at the Super Bowl, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN also got in on the act. Here's what he had to say, Tyler. I talked to a former Broncos player who told me this inside the LA Convention Center. I think it's only a matter of time before he ends up in Denver, he being Aaron Rodgers. The player said it's more than a hunch, so let's see if he's right. The Packers have been adamant publicly and privately that they want Rodgers back and have interest in extending him, but they are waiting on Rodgers, who plans to circle back with the team later this month, definitely before the franchise tag deadline of March 8th. A former Broncos player told Jeremy Fowler, I think it's only a matter of time before he ends up in Denver, and it's more than a hunch. Putting any stock in this whatsoever, Tyler?
I mean, not really. Honestly, I'm just thinking about it. Number one, it's a former Broncos player, okay? So we're not talking about a current player. We're not talking about, like, and if it was a current player, it would have to be a current player that had the stature of Von Miller, of like somebody that is so legendary that the coaches, the front office, they actually communicate with you. Number one, we don't have any players like that on our team. Like, what is the name of a player that our coaches are running things by?
I can't think of one.
There's not one. There's not a single guy that has got the type of power that our coaches are running stuff by.
Let's just kind of work our way through this. So who might be pretty connected?
All right.
Right? So I don't think it's John. I don't think they're going to refer to John as a former Broncos player.
Right.
But John still has been in the building and has been involved.
Yep.
There are guys that John played with who are members of the media who might have been at the LA Convention Center for some of the things that were going on in and around Super Bowl week.
Okay.
Shannon.
If we said a Broncos exec or a Bronco, I see where you're going. Sorry.
So Elway might have told Shannon or might have told TD or might have told, heck, our own Mark Schlereth. I don't know. I'm just guys that John played with.
That's a little bit more plausible. If we're looking for somebody that's connected to John Elway, maybe John Elway knows the full picture. Honestly, I don't know if John Elway even knows the full picture right now. He's out of here in like 3 weeks. I don't know that George Payton is running everything by John Elway right now. So, you know, he might have a general idea of what's going on. But, you know, the way that it's...
I think John Elway's like Jay Leno, not to interrupt you.
Yeah, no.
I don't think John Elway's going anywhere.
Well, he might not.
I think he wanted to leave, like Jay wanted to leave. And then...
Oh, I don't think he wants to leave at all.
Well, he's...
I think he would love to have this job for the next 10 years.
A year ago, though, when he was like, I'm done with this current gig. Sure. I'm going to promote myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to walk off into the sunset. That was Jay Leno walking away from The Tonight Show, saying, Conan, you're the guy.
Yeah.
Then he goes and spends a year making $5, $6 million to ride around in his boat.
Right.
Fly in on a private jet, walk in, watch the games... Bail, come into training camp, you know, a couple days late and say he's really excited for it to get started. Things like that. I think he still wants that gig. I think he's having Jay Leno remorse. I think he's like, why am I leaving this? Why did I say I was walking away? I want to be a part of this.
Oh, I agree.
So I think John's more plugged in now than maybe we all thought he would be at this time.
He's probably attempted to be. But I just don't know that George Payton is really keeping him on the end right now. Maybe, though. Honestly, I think the most plausible thing would be that it is somebody that is connected to John Elway. Because if we're talking about, like, current players in the NFL, like a player that is going into free agency, whatever, like, just think about the logic of this for a second. Like, not, I want this to be true. I hope that it's true, and I hope that I'm wrong. But think about the logic for a second. What do you think Nathaniel Hackett's doing? Calling up Cortland Sutton and be like, hey, Cortland, it's great to meet you. I'm so fired up to work with you. Watch the film. I got some great plans for you. You know, we're going to throw a lot of jump balls to you. And oh, by the way, I'm giving up three first rounders to go get Aaron Rodgers. No. You think Nathaniel Hackett is giving that kind of information to players? Do you think George Payton is giving that kind of information to players?
No, I don't. But do I think John Elway could say things to former teammates that get out and eventually get back to Jeremy Fowler? Like, I can wrap my head around that theory.
I can too.
I'm not accusing him of it. I'm just saying.
I guess the way I heard it, though, the way that it was written, former Broncos player, that just makes me think more current. Like, you know, if you were talking about one of Elway's buddies, then it should be like a Broncos legend. You know, if you're talking about Shannon Sharp, if you're talking about TD, like, you know,
a Broncos
legend is going around and saying that Aaron Rodgers is a done deal. Just the way I hear it, it makes me think current players in the NFL. And that's impossible for me to think that.
Oh, anybody, I don't think he's doing like, that.
Players
at all.
Don't get that kind of information. The best players don't get that kind of information. Aaron Rodgers is throwing a fit in Green Bay last year because he wasn't getting that kind of information.
Right.
That's exactly what he was throwing a fit over. So the idea of a player having inside information like that is it's crazy.
But if we're just doing a little detective work here, right, and I'm just trying to think back to last week, Broncos players, current and former, that I saw doing interviews.
Bill Romanowski.
And making the round. Okay, so Romo. I saw Jake Plummer.
Jake Plummer was there.
I saw Justin Simmons, but this is he's a current player. He's not
no
a former
way,
player.
No
so
way
out.
Justin Simmons has that information. No way.
Shannon Sharp does his show from L.A., correct? So he's going to be there.
Okay.
I don't know that TD was there, but I believe that TD was there.
He's always there for Super Bowl week. Yeah.
Anybody else? Were there other former Broncos that were bouncing around that
I
missed?
If you're telling me it's an older guy, I find it more plausible. But I still find the information doubtful. So I find it more plausible that an older player would have been told information by John Elway or by somebody that is friends with John Elway that relayed it to them, right? That feels more realistic to me. But the information itself still feels questionable because who's telling, like, why would George Payton leak that type of information? Why would he do it?
I don't think George Payton's leaking anything. I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
All right. You're saying no. Wait, you're right.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to figure out who is connected with the organization that would be in the know that would have conversations with former players. George Payton has. I'm not saying George Payton is, you know, above being loose lips sink ships, right? Like, we all say things at times that we think are in private and it eventually gets out. So I'm not saying he's above that. I just don't know why George Payton would be talking to former Broncos players.
I think John Elway, who played with a lot of those guys, there's more of a possibility that he would. So I think it's the guys we saw there. I'm assuming most of the former Broncos who were in the Hall of Fame were there, right, for NFL honors. So that would be what? Atwater, Champ.
Yeah.
Makes
sense.
Those guys were probably around. I mean, it's not a huge list of potential suspects here.
I've got one.
Who was talking to Jeremy Fowler?
I've got a suspect.
Okay.
It's a conspiracy theory.
I love a good conspiracy theory. I got my tinfoil hat. I'm ready.
There's a guy. You know him very well. I know him very well. Our listeners know him very well. Who had some inside information on Aaron Rodgers. About a year ago this time. Got us all pretty excited about Aaron Rodgers. His name's Mark Schlereth. He happens to be a former Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
That would have an agenda for Aaron Rodgers to be coming to the Denver Broncos. To prove himself right. To go to I Told You So Island.
Yep.
Mark Schlereth.
It's a trip to I Told You So Island. But
is the mole that is passing information on to somebody to make his theory right so that he could go to I Told You So Island.
I could see that. Now, I don't follow Stink's travel plans, his itinerary.
No, it wasn't him.
As closely
it wasn't
as
him,
it should,
but he was
wasn't in L.A., was he?
It wasn't him. He was the source. He was the source that told TD, that told Shannon Sharp.
All right, well, we do have audio.
Who does Mark still like from his teammates?
Who does
teammates?
He still talk to? Who did he win Super Bowls with? Those would be two guys that would be on the list.
He doesn't like
Romo.
John.
What about Romo?
Don't know. I have no idea. Are they friends? I don't know
if there's a beef or not. I do have one other person.
Oh, you do?
Former player that was in L.A. last week. But real quick, here's what TD said about Aaron Rodgers during Super Bowl week.
Do you see Aaron Rodgers as the next Broncos quarterback?
I do. I'm not playing. I'm serious. And I've heard from too many insiders, too many sources. I've heard too many. It makes too much sense for us not to get Aaron Rodgers. And that's the talk of Denver. I'm in Denver now, so I hear the daily talk on radio and I hear it. And it sounds like that is the most likely scenario for the Broncos is to bring in Aaron Rodgers. It helps that Nathaniel Hackett, his OC, is our head coach now. It helps. I'm not saying that was the reason, but that helps.
I wonder if any of those sources.
All right. I mean, I like it. I mean, you got it. That's a real name that we know who that is. We know what he's saying. We know who he's friends with. I'm sure he's friends with John Elway.
So he was in L.A. We have audio of him saying he thinks Aaron Rodgers is coming here. Could he have bumped
And that wasn't like, I think it'd be a good idea. I've heard, I live in Denver. We're going to get Aaron Rodgers.
So if we did more arts and crafts in here and we're doing a suspect board, like we're on a detective show, we're putting up pictures. We got
TD is pretty high on the list.
He's at the top of the list.
Well, look, let's not turn TD into a villain.
I'm not saying that. I don't want to put him on a hit list here.
You know, I don't want to put the mugshot up there.
Like a lineup or anything.
Right.
But I do think that it makes some sense. It starts to add up. I do believe Brandon Stokley was in L.A. last week for a couple of days.
Oh, was he?
There's a couple of things that fits the criteria for what Jeremy Fowler said, former Broncos player.
Richie, was Stokley out in L.A.?
I believe that was what was going on.
I didn't get a confirmation on the exact location, but I know he was out and about for what he called golf-related reasons. But I do have confirmation from a very reliable source that Stink was in L.A. this past weekend making rounds.
Was he inside the L.A. Convention Center?
I don't know, but he was there over the weekend for multiple days.
Okay.
But it's a former Broncos player who says it's only a matter of time before Aaron Rodgers ends up in Denver.
Almost heard that once before.
which is certainly exciting news. All right, this is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.